go, let's go, let's go.
This is the Training Camp Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
Tempo in and out of the huddle.
The Training Camp Review Podcast is your daily source for all the news from Patriots training camp. Couldn't make it to the Patriots practice? Don't worry. The writers of Patriots Football Weekly have you covered. Well, maybe not Fred.
It's supposed to be hot. Supposed to be tough. It's the NFL. It's training camp.
Now, here to review today's practice, the writers of PFW.
Beautiful, absolutely perfect day in Foxborough today for practice number 5 of Patriots training camp 2014 edition. The team was in full pads yet again today, and I'd say you guys, Paul Perillo, Eric Scalavino, Andy Hart, the player of the day in training camp today was Julian Edelman. I thought he had a spectacular effort all around in drills, in 11-on-11, everything. I was very impressed with the day Julian Edelman had. We'll talk a little bit more about that in a second, but we had some housekeeping to attend to before we move on. Some notable names on the in-and-out list today. In, for the first time, in full pads, Alphonso Dennard, cornerback who'd been on PUP, didn't do, you know, a heck of a lot, but the fact that he was able to put on pads for the first time and take part is an encouraging sign for him. Also, a couple of rookies, Jamea Thomas and Daxton Swanson, both returned to action after they'd missed a couple of sessions. On the downside, Michael Ho'omanawanui and Dan Connolly, your tight end and starting right guard, were not out there, not even out there rehabbing. They were just not present at all today, and that was the first time that's happened this camp. Aside from that, your regulars, Aaron Dobson, Matthew Slater, Deontay Skinner, the rookie linebacker, Chris Martin and Dominique Easley, and Jeremy Gallen, all those guys were not in practice, but most of them were on the field doing some sort of rehab work. So there were also some special guests on the field today. We'll talk about that a little bit later. But to my earlier point, guys, I thought Edelman had a great day. What was your overall assessment of his play?
I think he's been great to open camp. I think the first 5 practices, if you were going to pick an all-star team, or like they do in hockey, the 3 stars, I think he'd be somewhere near the top. I think Revis is probably in that mix for the newness and the greatness that he brings. But we spent some time on PFW in Progress talking about Edelman and the confidence and the great catches and maybe just sort of asserting himself as a reliable playmaker on this team. He expects to be good. He is good, and he's going to show you he's good.
Yeah, I like your word too, Andy, confidence. Absolutely showing through with him.
He made one of the most incredible catches I've seen in a while today in the corner of the end zone closest to us in the media tent. He was draped by Arrington.
Was absolutely all over
him. He was running a corner route right to the back corner of the end zone, looked over his shoulder, the ball was underthrown. He basically had Arrington on his shoulder. He reached his hand around one-handed. It just fell right into the
kind of
corner
held it
of his
sideways
elbow.
In his bicep there.
He made the catch, was in bounds, it was a score.
It was a score.
It was an incredible play. Touchdown.
Paul is giving us you can't see it, but the
touchdown.
So we did it on the downside, have a couple people leave practice.
Yeah, very early
Brian
on.
Brian Stork very early on left practice, and that kind of shuffled some things. We saw a lot of Braxton Cave get center reps, and then later in practice, Josh Boyce went to the sideline, got retaped, went back out, caught one pass in a drill over the middle, and then did not finish the practice as well.
I will say for him, he spoke to the media afterwards. So
limped over, though, to the media.
I would say it's probably not something that is overly serious. I think he would have gone right in and not spoken to the media if it were.
Problem, though, is he's had to be taken care of almost every day of camp.
Yeah, he's
at
always
one point or another.
Something.
Yeah.
And this is probably related to the thing that happened in the second to last day of minicamp, I want to say, Andy? When he was tended to
maybe
a little
the
bit.
Last day. Second to last day.
It was
the second to last day.
Second to last day, because we were outside still.
Correct.
And then he didn't really do a whole lot in the bubble the next day. My guess is this was related to that.
We should also mention probably some news that came out today from Paul's buddy Jeff Howe, and our friend too, about Aaron Dobson, a report that he has had a permanent screw placed in his left foot, which he had surgery on over the offseason, and that he only started being able to run full speed pretty recently.
Yep.
That is really discouraging if that report is accurate.
Really screwed up his offseason.
Permanently screwed.
Could screw up his year two jump.
I mean, all the jokes aside, I really think that's the worst kind of news you could have gotten about Aaron Dobson at this point, because you would hope that the fact that he was out there was encouraging, that he was like Tommy Kelly, like Alphonso Dennard, just a few steps away from putting the pads on and getting back out there. And then if this report is true, I'm a lot less confident about where he's going to be, not only the next few days, but by opening day.
Yeah, he's certainly a candidate for PUP to open the season, and that's concerning. You know, I think when Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels over the last 6 months have talked about their hopes for the young receivers and the evolution and the year two, and I think Dobson's a big part of that, and he has missed already the bulk of that, and he will continue to miss for some point moving forward. Worst-case scenario would be into the season in 6 weeks and all that. I don't think they were hanging all their hopes on Kenbrell Tompkins, let's say. I think Dobson was a big part of their hopes, and we're not looking all so great in that area.
Yeah, very disappointing. And watching him a little bit while he was doing some of his rehab today, I don't know why. I don't know if it was an injury thing or maybe he was just getting his wind, but he looked like he was struggling a little bit. After one, he tried to catch a long pass, didn't quite catch up to it, and then sort of pulled up and was bent over for a good, you know, 25, 30 mm-hmm. seconds before he made his way back to, you know, where he started. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know if it was something bothering him with his foot or if he was just getting his wind. But I think, Andy, he's going to open on PUP.
It seems to be trending in that direction.
And you have all of these different receivers, too, and there's maybe some decisions to make on some of them. Maybe this puts it off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, obviously, if he were going to be ready to go at the start of the season, you wouldn't do that.
Right.
But if there's a question and you can buy yourself 6 weeks, then that might make sense.
Right. Paul, you had a chance afterwards to hear Tommy Kelly in his
remarks. I had a chance to sit down and talk with Tommy
Kelly.
Did you?
What did he tell you?
That's just an outright lie. You didn't sit down.
With about 15 other people.
Yeah. That was the first time this camp that he was
able to. Kelly just talked about being excited to get back out there, and not the first time he's dealt with this kind of, you know, rehab. He blew up his knee in 07. So just talking about the competition and welcoming it, understanding life in the NFL, especially for a veteran like him, there's not going to be any guarantees. So, sounded like in a good frame of mind. He's one of the more, affable guys, to talk to. So I think he came as expected. He did a little bit more today, I thought, physically than he had. Andy, would you agree with that? Kelly?
Yes.
I think he did a little bit more physically than
put his pants on, first of all, which was a good sign.
But I think he was involved in some of the 11.
More.
Yeah, okay. So I want to make sure.
Took a step forward.
You know, as you criticized me during PFW in progress, I was entertaining half of the crowd today. So I didn't quite catch everything.
We like Andy likes on this show, or on PFW in progress, to sort of downplay the notion of the coverage linebacker. But you seem to think, based on five practices, that there might be such a player
I'm
on this team.
Intrigued by James Anderson. He can run better than most with players. You know, we've seen chances for Mayo and Hightower and different guys to run with people. And I've been impressed with the way James Anderson has run with Julian Edelman, has run with the running backs a little bit. I'm intrigued to see where James Anderson goes as a coverage guy. And he has no problem being called a coverage linebacker. I thought that was interesting, too.
And they need somebody like that to be available as depth at that position.
Sure.
Because they don't really have a heck of a lot going for them at this
point. And I don't want to just pigeonhole him. I mean, he did have 100 and something tackles last year for the Bears. But here, at least initially, I think that's going to be his role, be a situational sub-package coverage linebacker.
Mm-hmm. They've been doing some new drills in camp this year, which I really like. They actually added some wrinkles to an old drill, and they added one today that I don't remember seeing them do before. The wrinkle that they added was the one, they have a quarterback dumping off to a running back who, in like a space of maybe, 10-15 yard width and about a 20 to 25 yard length of field, you have to try to get by the defender. Usually they would just start two guys at, you know, one guy at each end and they'd run toward each other. Now they've added a quarterback dumping off to the back and either one or two defenders trying to take that player down, which I kind of like that, that
I also
wrinkle.
Like the old school Oklahoma kind of drill. See that? When they would, you know, when they lay down?
That's the one they added today.
I like
that.
I like that.
Two guys helmet to helmet. They have to get up.
Right.
You know, it's
yeah, I like the open field tackle.
Very old school.
Especially when they're
very old
today when they're bringing them down to the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's added a little bit of excitement since they put the pads on, something a little bit different to camp than your standard, you know, 7-on-7 individual drill periods. Those kind of things have made things a little bit more exciting. And I thought after a day off on a beautiful day today, at the start of practice, I think it was a little bit sloppy, and I think we heard some of the coaches maybe getting a little upset with some of the players at the way practice had started out. But I think towards the end, I think it maybe worked itself out a little bit.
Well, I think in general they were expecting a lot today. They were kind of ramping it up physically and what they were throwing at the players, coming off a day off, full pads, you should be fresh, let's get some work done. And I'm not sure if it always lived up to their hopes, but mm-hmm. I think they were looking to ratchet it up, crank the intensity up just a little bit. And sometimes I think we saw that, sometimes I think we didn't.
And I think we got a little bit of down and distance toward the end.
Yep.
Which was nice, too. It was a little bit more of an up-tempo feel to practice, which was nice to see. And, of course, next week when we're in Washington, we'll see a lot more of that because that's just the nature of it when the two different teams practice with each other.
And I think that's what they're ramping up for as well, is situational work, down mm-hmm. and, you know, all the things they're going to face in joint practices when it is a little bit more competitive and set up and scripted that way.
That's what Bill talked about at the press conference.
I don't go to those.
I know. That's why I was filling you in. I was there.
That's a rarity.
I haven't missed one yet.
Logan Ryan, a lot of reps in the slot,
yes.
I think, has had an intriguing camp. Be interesting to see where that goes.
I think he's played well.
If Kyle Arrington is, you know, fighting for a job or how that may work out, money, ching, 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 you know, Johnny Manziel, money, money, money. We'll see.
Special teams-wise, they worked on kickoff returns today.
Sure.
Did anything stand out to you from who was in that rotation?
Well, I need to look this up. I'm not sure what his history there is, but, you know, Brandon LaFell continues to be in the second group of returners, and it doesn't really fit his build persona as a blocking wide receiver guy.
I don't think he looked all that comfortable doing it either.
Well, he could be. I mean, he's the off guy.
He's a Slater
right.
guy. Yes.
But still, if the for some reason it's short or it's
but
to his side, he has to do it.
He did get one.
He got one.
Oh,
today.
He got one.
Mm-hmm.
And our boy Travis Hawkins continues to get some reps in there.
Right. Along with the regular guy. Boyce is generally
Boyce and Vereen
number one
have
guy.
Been the top two.
Right.
Although Slater's not out there, so
Finch,
hard to
could
know.
Be. Yeah.
Finch has been out there.
Finch and
Jimmy White.
James White. Jimmy White. Jimmy Devlin. How many Jimmys we got on this team?
And then
Garoppolo.
Last note.
He's actually a Jimmy.
last practice-related note I want to bring up was during that special teams period, Brady likes to come over to the end zone nearest us and work with his favorite receivers. Today it was his favorite receiver, singular, Rob Gronkowski.
Or only,
yeah. And he had some defense against him today, and that was?
Revis.
Actually brought over by Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick brought Revis over and sort of paired it up, and I don't know exactly what the idea was, but Revis was sort of covering at, I would say, three-quarter speed, maybe.
If that.
Gronkowski, and Brady was giving him some pointers on how he wanted him to run the routes and different things, but certainly, you know, the money shot in terms of the all-ACL repaired team and the key players for the 2014 Patriots.
Really, that's your season right there, those three players.
And I want to pay off on a tease. You go to the Fred Kirsch School of Teasing. We had some notable people on the field today. Charlie Weiss, Mark Burley, DeMarlo Hale. Is it DeMarlo?
Yes.
And some other people with that group, the Blue Jays in town. So
Dan Copen.
Dan Copen was in
town. Matt Chatham.
Old friend.
He's here every day.
Oh, okay. Jinx. But yeah, Charlie Weiss. Interested that he was on the field.
Yeah, and Charlie and Josh McDaniels had a little chat after practice, a little the old and the new.
And
talking
we're
about
here.
How neither one of them have any receivers. I don't know.
Oh.
What?
Well, we're here every day. If you can't be down here for camp, so join us tomorrow. There's another practice in the morning, as has been the case since practice started last week. Practice number 6 tomorrow coming up. Paul, Andy, and I will be there. Join us tomorrow for another Training Camp Podcast.
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.